Sister Marie's testimony reminded me of a scripture that's extremely important to us. The foundation of the Lord standeth sure. That's the thing that we count on, isn't it? And now we have something to build on and something to stand on, something to believe in, something to support us. So thank the Lord for that this morning. I'd like for you and me this morning, with God's help, to consider the thought about maybe the word pillar comes to mind. Maybe the word quitchy-like men, meaning adults strong in the Lord, male and female. How the Lord wants to equip us. God is looking for us to be pillars in His church. I believe Paul said in Galatians, 2nd chapter, that when he went to Jerusalem, he found Peter, James, and John, who seemed to be pillars in the church. And he visited with them, and they extended to him the right hand of fellowship. God is looking for people to take their place and support weight, to carry loads, to be able to be stable, and to be able to be examples, to be a part of something that He is building. And I'd like to talk about that a little bit this morning. Life has a lot of weight. Whether we're saved and whether we're noble or whether we're very indifferent about the life itself, it has a weight that every one of us has to bear. Some people crumble under it. Some people pick it up in their own strength. Some people run to God and say, Lord, help me to please build on Jesus Christ, the sure foundation. But however we handle it, we all encounter weights. We all encounter responsibilities. Some people have run from it, hid themselves in drugs and fantasy worlds and the bottle. Some people have taken it in an irrational and an untrue way and prescribed how they were going to handle the responsibilities of life in their own jurisdiction, their own abilities. The Lord has guidelines for us that we might honorably bear the weight of life, that we might honorably bear the weight of the gospel, that we might honor Him and also be an asset in our community, in our congregation, in our home. The Lord has a means by which you and I can bear the weight of life in a most holy and a respectable way. And I want to know that, don't you? I would not want my portion of the building to fall, not meaning the church necessarily, but my position in the home, your position in the home, on the job, at school, in life, in the community of man. I would not want to be the one that fell or crumbled under lack of taking responsibility or maturity in being able to handle the burdens that's been entrusted to you and to me, the weights of life. In life, we face what we call, I think the new word is issues. Well, that's not a new issue. Man's always had burdens. They've always had things to consider, choices to make, decisions to make, consequences to weigh out, bumpy roads to face. Those are some of the things that we want to consider today. Over in Job, the first chapter, maybe we'll begin here. And we know so well the story of Job, especially the first few chapters. And if anybody had issues, Job had issues. If anybody had distractors, Job had distractors. I'm sure Job's wife loved him, and in her love for him, she no doubt wanted to see Job relieved. And maybe it was by dying. And so she was willing to lose Job that he might get out of his suffering. So Job had various influences that he had to consider. He had options that he had to consider. He had situations that he absolutely issues. We'll just stay in the vernacular of the day. He had issues that he didn't understand at all. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Some good credentials for facing what was fixing to happen. There's still good credentials today for you and me who want to be strong in the times of trials, who want to be able to make decisions based on right, to be able to support and not crumble under the weights and the pressures and responsibilities of life. We look for reasons and how do I do? How do I withstand and how do I overcome? How do I not fail and how do I become and how do I perform the job, the things that's been entrusted to me, the commission of Christ, the responsibility of a family, of a parent, a mother, a father? How do I hold up under the constant bombardment of this information age that's telling me otherwise and that I hear of the ungodly acts as they happen almost? How do I hold up and how am I not carried away by all the false doctrines and the agnostic and atheistic beliefs that's in the world today? How do I hold my ground and how do I leave a heritage for those that's coming behind me? And how do I live in such a way, the songwriter said, may those who come behind us find us faithful. How do I do it, Lord? We really got some problems. We really got a lot of things bombarding us. And Lord, the weight seems, it's awful heavy at times. And I want to be a pillar, don't you? I want to stand true. Well, I believe Job had some good credentials here. He was a man that was mature. He was complete. He was an honorable man. And he loved righteousness and loved the right way. And in his own strength even, he did what was necessary to eschew evil, to turn from it, to not go along parallel in life with a pretense that, well, it doesn't matter. But things do matter. And Job seemed to have understood that. So he eschewed the evil. He turned away from the society that was around him, if necessary. And he feared God. He had a great reverence, a great respect, and an awe for God. Would to God this morning, every one of us would have a great, sober respect for God. That His cause, His righteousness, His law, His word, His very person would be more important to us than all the other things in life. So Job had some credentials. And we know the story of Job. We know the things that he faced. And we know that through it all, Job was a perfect man. He walked uprightly. He did not curse God. And he was faithful. And I want to be that, don't you? We need each other to be that. I'm dependent on you to be faithful. Sometimes we may think, I don't need anyone. Well, that's foolishness. We need each other. We need the support of others. We need the wisdom of others. We need the encouragement of each other. So this morning, Lord, help us to want to be able to bear the weight of life honorably in such a way that will bring glory to God, in such a way that those who read your epitaph or speak at your funeral will say, this was a faithful person. They did what they could, and they feared God. They eschewed evil, and they were counted on, and they stood firm, and they stood true. There's another situation a man faced that I'd like to speak about a little bit. Over in the first chapter of Matthew, this is something that was very important to a man named Joseph. Joseph evidently was attracted to a young lady named Mary. And they were engaged or espoused. And as you know the history, the espousal period among the Jewish religion, the Jewish law, was much more sober and responsible than maybe what we term an engagement. And Joseph was espoused to this young lady named Mary. There seemed to be some History tells us some age difference in the two, which was not uncommon in that time. And Joseph got hit with a bombshell. Yeah, he did. Joseph, let's say he had fallen in love, and he got hit broadside with some news that would shake any of us. Let's read that little bit here. Then when Joseph, in the first chapter in the 19th verse, let's read the 18th. Now the birth of Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, in other words, they were not officially married yet, they had not consummated that marriage yet, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Now at this point, Joseph didn't understand that. He understood she was with child. Now, in life, we have this real thing we've got to be careful of. And that's called jumping to conclusions. One of the things that will hinder you and me is rashness. Jumping ahead. Putting our thoughts ahead of fact. Putting our thoughts and our thinking on something that we don't know enough about, and yet we jump ahead. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. One of the wonderful things that can be said of Joseph was he was a just man. This morning, as we seek out how do we bear the weights and the responsibilities of life, how do we become and conduct ourselves in an honorable way? How do we learn and how are we able to leave a heritage that we're not afraid of a child or a grandchild to place their footsteps in our footsteps? Part of it is to fear God, as Job of old. Part of it is to become a just person, an honorable person, to love mercy, to love truth, to let it govern and let it be a beacon in our life, to recognize the value of righteousness and holiness and a fear of the Almighty. It said here, before much is gone, it's really a short summation of what happened, and we don't know all of it. You know, I'm sure Joseph and Mary bound to have had some conversations about this thing, and I'm sure he had some input from neighbors and maybe his father, and Maybe he went to one of the rabbis or one of the leaders. I don't know all of that. But I'm sure it wasn't just, oh, she's going to have a child, but it's of the Holy Ghost, no problem. It wasn't that simple at all, I'm sure. Yet, one of the credentials that Joseph had was he was a just man. He walked equitably. He appreciated righteousness and holiness and the truth. So, he was facing a dilemma. We see that the first thing about Joseph was he didn't want to make a spectacle of her. That's just, isn't it? He loved mercy. He had the right to take her by the arm, I suppose, and go before the courts of that day and say, this woman who's a spouse to me has been unfaithful even before the marriage, and I want a divorce. And her name would have been spread out. And just think what could have happened to that young girl. And she was so innocent. But him being a just man, he considered her feelings. He considered her reputation. He acted above the flesh, if you will. He did not let the hurt and the anger and the disappointment and the humiliation he must have felt override justice and righteousness. Being a pillar causes you and me to rise above ourselves. It causes us to have to support weights that we didn't inflict on ourselves. It causes us to bear responsibility for other people and other burdens and the injustices that come our way. So there he was, minded to put her away privily. Well, he was thinking, in other words. And this is what I liked. 20th verse, but while he thought on these things. Rashness will get you in trouble almost every time. I want to tell you, Joseph had an opportunity to get way ahead of God. He could have got ahead of God real quick here. But he was thinking, and he was a just man. He was a man that loved honor and respectability. He was a man of mercy and consideration. This is pointed out in his thoughts before even the angel came to him. And I don't believe it was by any stroke of luck that Joseph was chosen to the position he was in to be the future husband of Mary and the stepfather, if you will, of Jesus Christ. I believe the Lord had his hand on Joseph. He picked Joseph out. He had it all worked out in his infinite wisdom that he knew Joseph was a man that he could trust, a man that would listen, and a man that would think, a man that loved justice, a man who would listen to that voice from the Lord before he would go out and rashly start making accusations and doing things. So while he thought on this, while he pondered on this, while he considered what was going on, God came. Did you know there's a scripture be still and know that I'm God? Today, Lord, help us as we want to be able to bear the responsibilities that God's placed on us, that life has placed on us. Do you remember the story of Esther? And she said, well, Mordecai told her, said, well, who knows, but by this very purpose you came into the world. We don't know why we're here all together. All we know, the bottom line is to fear God and keep His commandments, etc. But we don't know the places God has chosen for you and me to walk through. And we don't know the time and the chance that's going to occur in our life. Please, Lord, help us to be prepared not to crumble, not to fall, not to neglect, but to be able to stand as you stood, the songwriter said, long ago. That we can leave a heritage of uprightness, that men can speak, people can speak our name with respect and not have to hang their head. Oh, saints, let's be faithful. Let's be true. Let's be a name that's maybe somewhere down the road that these little children here will be able to remember us as men who feared God and walked uprightly and did not behave themselves unseemly, but made their decisions based on thinking, pondering, and considering the Word of God. So here Joseph was in the process of scratching his head. I know what the law said, and I know my feelings, and I know the hurt that's in here, and I know the disappointment, and I know the shame that they're going to say down at the barbershop about me. But Joseph, he really picked a doozy that time, didn't he? You know, they're going to say, he rose above that. And while he was in that place of thinking and pondering, questioning, if you will, the angel of the Lord came to him and appeared and said, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife. Joseph, being an honorable man, he accepted that. He had a contact with God. May I say to all of us who aspire to be pillars in the church of God, and I want to say to you, aspire for that. Aspire to be a man and a woman of God. And don't wait till you say, I get 30 or 40 to do it. But if you understand what I'm saying this morning, if you understand our words and the Word of God in the least little bit, have aspirations to stand true and firm and be able to support the weight of life. That's not pride. That's not vanity. That's not a worldly ambitions. But that's something God has put in every one of us to aspire to, that we would be someone that could be counted on. Now, the Lord told Joseph, don't be afraid. I've thought about that so much, or thought about it at times anyway. Fear, our reputation, our pride, the loss or the gain of a situation, the want, meaning the lack or the emptiness of something. All those things will come in, and it'll cause us the gambit of human emotions to be played out, or they will begin, those emotions will begin to cry out. Well, the voice of reason tells me this. Fear says, run. Fear says, give up. Pride says, it's not my duty. It's not my responsibility. I'm too good for that. Lord, help us today to recognize that when you and me reach these unthinkable times in our life, and you think about it, Joseph was, I don't know, most young men or men I see today that's getting married, they kind of walk a little bit lightly in their steps. And I'm sure he was thinking about marriage and family and tenderness, and, you know, home-cooked meals, whatever you think about it those times. And wham, the unthinkable happened. Fear, dread, anger. How could she? I'm going to get even. I'll show her. All those things, the emotions of the moment can erupt around us. I'll just walk off and leave this thing. I'm going to just get away from it. Not my burden, not my problem. She did that to herself. But he was a just man. Something higher was calling Joseph. Something higher is calling each one of us today. There's a cause, there's a reason for it all. It's not molecules coming together and hit by the atoms of the sun. It is a process called the creation of God. And he formed man in his own image, and he breathed into man the breath of life. We became a living soul, made in God's image, given a spirit, given eternal life, accountable for the steps we walk in this life, accountable to God for the breath we breathe, accountable to God to how I handle responsibilities, accountable to one another how I love and support and we honor one another. We're not just here self-serving, and we know that. So we've got to be able to have something within us that rises above the unthinkable that comes our way. Did you know sometimes constant weight becomes a great effort to support? You can pick up X amount of pounds and hold it for a season. Depending on the weight and depending on one's own strength, you can support it for a while, maybe a long while. But after a while, that weight and this thing called gravity begin to work together against our strength, against our muscles, against our energy level. Then we're going to have something greater than ourselves. We're going to have something stronger in us than that that is out there warring against us. John said, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Lord, help us today as we want to be all God wants us to be. We want to be counted worthy, and we want to be counted on. We have within us that it causes us to rise above those unthinkable moments, those slaps in the face, that weight that just pulls down and pulls down and pulls down. You know, I love children, and you love children, and I want to tell you about children. They can pull, and they can pull, and they can be a weight. Bible said, don't be weary in well-doing. I want to encourage your parents this morning. Do well. Be just. Be honorable. Fear God. Do what's right. You will reap if you faint not. So those little children that they're born with a personality. Now, some of it can be shaped and formed, but they are born with a propensity to go a certain way, do a certain thing. And some of them can really be awake. God help us today as parents, grandparents, and teachers. Don't be weary in well-doing. I think one of the frustrations Jesus must have faced was, how many times have I got to tell you the same thing over and over and over? Oh, Lord, help us not to be weary, give up, but help us to fear God, keep His commandments, and be pillars in the church of God. Not so much visibly. You know, sometimes people think visibility makes a pillar. Or visibility makes one counted worthy. But you know, most pillars, supports, and columns are not seen. They are there. The foundation is there, but it's not seen. Oh, there's some ornate ones, and they're good, and they have their place, and I'm not against that. Most support of a building is unseen by the passing eye. There are a few exceptions to that. Over in Psalms 37 and 23, the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. Behooves us, as I want to not crumble under the weight of life, to look and see who is guiding my steps, who is ordering my steps. Sister Maxine told us last night a little exhortation about two voices that we always hear. It's the voice of doing right, and it's the voice of doing wrong. So I think today, Lord, help us to look at our own self very objectively and look at yourself in crisis. Go back and look at yourself and me at myself in times when the pressure got heavy, when the temptation, the unthinkable came along, the child, the job, the friend, the spouse, something happened and it was just of a great irritation, a problem. How did you conduct yourself? Think about it. Not to belittle or to bring down or to humiliate, but to grow from it, to recognize, yes, that was what I should have done, and God blessed that effort. And no, I did not bring glory to God, and it did not help the situation. Brother Marty talked about building and tearing down, and he said, we ought to desire to be builders. Lord, help us this morning. Did what I do and how I reacted and how I am reacting, is it building? Is it supporting? Is it not crumbling? Is it holding up and not fainting? Consider that. Who's ordering our life? The Bible said the steps of a good man, a righteous man, a just man, Joseph, Job, others, Zechariah. They are ordered. They're directed by. They are orchestrated. They are led by God Himself. This morning, God wants every one of us to be led and ordered of Him. He's given us His Word and His Spirit and the blood that we might be converted and changed, and that old fleshly appetite be brought under subjection, that you and me might be ordered of the Lord and directed of the Lord. That then when those times that are so unthinkable, same things that happen, that we're able to stand and not crumble and lose it. Or when the decisions are so critical, it seems like, that we just don't run away from it and kind of space out at the problems that we undertake or have to undertake. The steps of a good man. I want to read some about steps of a good man. It's in Proverbs, the 4th chapter. I don't know. I think this can apply to us, because I think we all want to be strong in the Lord and be faithful. He gave some steps that I believe here are good for us. 4 and 23 of Proverbs. Keep your heart with all diligence. What does it say about it? For out of it are the issues of life. We have a faculty in us called a mind. We also have something unique, I think, in all the animal kingdom, and that's a conscience. And that conscience, that ability to divide between right and wrong, is a very important fact in our life. It is a part of man that God placed in there that he can work with and lead us. He can convict us with a conscience. He can encourage us with a conscience. I believe Paul said he would live in good conscience, a conscience void of offense. That's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Now, folks, sometimes we may think a conscience is void of offense if it's never slapped anybody, stolen any money from someone, or shot somebody. But I want to tell you, a conscience void of offense is one that's held the ground, was responsible, that did not cease, I believe he said, to declare the truth. It is a man or a woman who has lived the life of a Christian. A conscience void of offense. Keep your heart, he said, with all diligence. I want to encourage us today. If you and me want to bear the weight and support the weight of life and come through it without behaving in a way that's less than honorable, keep your heart with all diligence. May it be given to God, and may it be dedicated to God. He went on, put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee. I'd like to read the definition of the word froward. It means actually, which you see many times in Jewish writings, it's a double redundancy here, but it froward also means reverse. That is, turning from with an aversion to something or a reluctance to do it. In other words, here is a drink of water. You need to drink this water. But you turn away from it with an aversion to water or a reluctance to even taste it. That means to be froward, just without even consideration, just an aversion to it. And the Lord says, put that away from you. We've got to be willing to love truth and righteousness and be able to turn to God and say, this is what I want. I don't have a distaste for it. Froward means not willing to yield or to comply with what is required. God is asking us to bear the weight and bear the responsibility. Don't quit when the temperature rises. And don't quit when the criticism starts circulating. And don't refrain and fear from going forward when you're not understood or when your decision is going to be not the popular decision. Bear the weight of being where you are and who you are at that time. Unyielding, ungovernable, disobedient, peevish. It talks about like a child is froward when they're peevish and they're just obstinate and not want to mind it and seem to take joy in being just the opposite. Then the word perverse. It means literally, it said, to turn aside. And what did he say here? Lips that turn aside, that lips that distort from the right. There's many voices today that'll guide you, but there's only one truth. There's many words and many wisdoms, so-called, and there's much reasoning in the world, but there's only one God, and there's only one word of God. And he said for us to put a perverse lips, they could be mine. They could be yours. They could be our own lips. They could be our own reasoning and our own thinking. Joseph, no doubt, don't you think for a moment, it didn't come to his mind to make a spectacle out of her. I believe it had to come to his mind. But then he was a just man, and he said, I don't want to humiliate. Joseph was willing to listen to someone other than himself. In this case, he was willing to listen to God. To be perverse is obstinate in the wrong. Lord, help us. Put that away from you. If you're wrong, you know the best antidote for being wrong is say I'm wrong. You know the best antidote for making a mistake and correcting it is say, I made a mistake. I was wrong. Have you ever found that rather difficult? Well, I might be wrong, but I think, aren't we a unique creature? You know, aren't we unique? But then we're not unique. We're pretty much alike in a lot of ways. But obstinate in the wrong. A man or woman who wants to be strong in the Lord and be just and be a pillar and bear the weight, I believe they've got to be not obstinate in the wrong, but willing to say, it was me. I erred. You know, I thought, but truth came to me. I listened to that child. I listened to my wife. I listened to what my boss was saying. I was wrong. That's how we grow, folks. That's how we gain respect. That's how we don't have to flower ourselves. It comes as a natural reaction from people when they see us humble ourselves and admit. But to be perverse is this, to not blink an eye and say, not going to change my mind. It means to be stubborn, untrackable. So if I'm going to be able to bear the weights of society and life that it thrust on me, I've got to put away some things. And I believe, as others would also, that most of that does not come from the outside, but it comes from my own thinking, my own appetites, my own fears, my own resentments, my own insecurities. You know, we need to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. That will help you and me then overcome our own insecurities, our own inadequacies, those natural bents that you and me have to defend ourselves or be obstinate about something, even when we're wrong. If we can learn to trust in the Lord, rely on the Lord, plant our feet, our hearts, our minds firmly on the foundation of the Lord, that standeth sure, and the Lord knoweth them that are His, and He's not going to desert us to the foe, but He will be there with us. And when we get tired, when we seem like we can't hold up anymore, when we look like we've got down to the end of the road and we can't go any further, the Lord will be there, and the Lord will support us, and the Lord will be our justifier, our vindicator. Wisdom is justified of its children. May we this morning find that place that God is everything to us. Keep your heart with all diligence. Let thine eyes look right on. Think about that a minute. Let our eyes look right on. Focus on that which is honorable, on that which is good, and that which is just. We sing a song in our hymnal, What Would Jesus Do? You've seen those go to Christian bookstores, maybe you've seen it on bumper stickers. That'll be that little decal that says WWJD, What Would Jesus Do? Well, that's, you know, whoever wrote that song in our book predates those things, but the point is, it's good to see that. It's good to think about that. Keep our mind focused on the honorable. Enjoy it, love it, want to do it, give yourself for it, that you and me might be counted worthy to stand in that last day. That those who trust in us and depend on us and those who rely on us will not have a reluctance to come to us and say, Dad, Mom, I'm in trouble. I need help. Give me some wisdom. What can I do? What should I do? How should I behave at this moment in my life? I know you live close. I know you love God. I know you love me. I've seen you bear weights. I've seen you have to hold up when things were just really bad for you. Now I know I can trust you. I've seen you not lose your cool or run off and cower in fear. I can depend on you. You've corrected me with justice and mercy and love. Oh Lord, help it to be said of us. Help it to be said of us that in a congregation it can be said they carried the load. They were there. They were involved. They supported. They did what they could. And when decisions have to be made, that man, that woman, they can be counted on for stabilities in their judgments, stability in their reasoning. They're not going to go off on tangents left and right, but they're going to stay focused on the right thing. They're not going to be looking at how to please themselves, but what is best for the course and best for all involved. They're not going to be caught up in tangents and whimsical things, but they're going to be stay with the facts and stay with the truth. And they're going, what is best for the long term? What is not so much right now, a momentary answer, but what is the long-term course and answer? God is looking for us to be that person. And you don't have to be old. And you don't have to wait till you're 21. You can learn those things as a child. You can let your mom and dad be an influence for you to instruct you. You can already begin to understand the Word and say, Lord, I don't think I'm there yet. My maturity level is just kind of still fragmented left and right. But Lord, I want you to start bringing me in. I want you to start taking control of these loose tangents and these episodes that I have. And I want to turn them over to you, Lord. So when my time comes, I can be the man or the woman that you want me to be. That I can stand there and be solid and support more weight. That's how we grow stronger in the physical, isn't it? A little weight here, a little weight there. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Lord, help us. It's what Joseph did. And the Lord honored Joseph by coming and said, all right, Joseph, this is what's happening. You know, sometimes that rash word comes back, that rashness of life. And sometimes we're prone to speak, and we need to learn a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. That our words minister grace to the hearer. Said, ponder, consider, look at consequences of it. Will what I'm fixing to do add to or take away from? Will it build or tear down? Will it be good for the cause or will it be a selfish interest? Will it promote God and holiness and righteousness and bring glory to His holy name? Or it is have the tinge of what's best for me in it? Ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy feet from evil. May God help us today. We have some more thoughts, but time's run out on us. God is looking for us. He wants us to be pillars and people He can place responsibility on. And how do we get there? Another point. We learn to be just in what we have on hand. We learn to be temperate in what we have on hand. You see, the Lord is looking at you young people, and us older people, but He's looking at you younger people. How are you handling your responsibilities you have now? Did you know the Lord, before He can entrust you with more, He's going to see how you're standing with what you have. Before He entrusts you with more responsibility, before He gives His honor and His glory to your action, He's looking to see how you handled it before He can give you more. If you and me have some things that are valuable and we want to share that responsibility, we may give a little. and see how that person responds to that responsibility before we entrust them with a greater amount of responsibility. Living in the church of God, living in the kingdom of God, is a growth. We're born into it, but we also grow once we're in there. We learn, and we take on responsibilities. And God is looking at you and me, how are you handling what I've given you? Before we go out and seek more, let's handle what we've got. Quit ye like men. Be strong. Be strong in power of the Lord. Be strong in love and mercy. Love justice. Love mercy. Love truth. Build your life on it. Turn away from the froward. Turn away from the perverse. Those things that are erroneous, just turn away from them. Most of us know how to behave. Most of us know how to conduct ourselves. Now God is saying, do it. He told us, the people in the story of the Good Samaritan, we call it. He said to the people, he said, which one did the right thing? Well, the man who showed mercy, of course, they said. He said, you've spoken well. They knew. They understood. You and I understand. May God help us now to go out with God in us and do that which we know is the right thing to do. Sanctify the Lord in our hearts and in our minds and be ready to stand the test of life. So now, let's look at our problems and our issues. Not so much as what they are in their aggravation or trial to us, but as a place where the Lord can be glorified with our actions in our life. Where the Lord can say, you handled it well. You were right in your thinking. You didn't run off half-cocked. But you waited and you talked to me about it. You opened up my word and read about it. You pondered and you thought and you considered. You did well. I appreciate that. Now you're going to have the grace to stand. You're not going to fall under this thing. And this has come against you will not defeat you because you sought out the answer in the right way. You didn't go to the perverse or to the forward. You didn't go to those things that would tell your flesh, well, just do so and so. But you behaved yourself wisely, seemly. You brought glory to my name. I'm going to stand with you. I'm not going to let you fall. My everlasting arms that's underneath you are going to support you and hold you, parent, husband, wife, worker in the gospel, whomever, wherever. We are. God's arms will never get out from under us if we'll just ponder the path of our feet and say, Lord, here I am. What am I supposed to do now? And stay there and don't go off somewhere else. You pray for me.